Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today.
Hi, it's Demetrius.
Hey, Demetrius, it's Mark. They're in.
Nice. Taking it to the next level.
Launching phase two of Gable Media on October 7th.
Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Morning, everyone.
And you're listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for coming back, everyone. I almost forgot our intro.
You didn't almost, you pretty much did. I think I'm more concerned with the fact that you almost forgot your name, it seemed like, too.
It's
a Monday for us, right?
Yeah, we're starting off here. So Jason, I wanted to jump into a conversation about mentorship. Been hearing conversations about this sort of going around. Early this year, I went to a fairly local high school. I went to Long Beach. Long Beach Poly, which is a kind of a technical school. And I went out and did a little presentation on architecture. And this kind of dovetails into our conversation with Meghna last week about Project Pipeline and, you know, going back to school, high schools to try and get them to understand what our industry is all about. So I've been trying to be good with that if I do hear of an opportunity to do so. So I went out and talked to 11th graders, which was very different than what I thought. I thought 11th graders were older. When in my time, I felt like I was a lot older than the 11th graders that I saw then. So the conversation that I had with them or presentation that I did, I have no idea how it went, if it just fell flat or if they enjoyed it or whatever, but it was a good experience, at least for me, to get out there. And I did have like two kids that were really interested, and one reached out about potentially shadowing me, but unfortunately the COVID thing happened. But so wanted to jump into mentorship and kind of on a few different levels. One, in the construction world, is there sort of a mentorship relationship that's sort of apparent in the construction world and that you personally have?
I don't know if there's anything that's apparent. I do know, you know, we've talked about the next gen before, the next gen group that the Building Industry Association has, and they started kind of a mentor program. Which, you know, trying to really more or less indoctrinate, you know, younger professionals and include them into the discussions with some veterans, if you will, and that type of thing. I think it's a little bit more of a forced mentorship, you know, relationship type deal. Whereas the ones that I tend to prefer are a little bit more organic, right? And then obviously COVID's kind of screwed up a lot of that. It's really hard to get together with people if you're doing that. And the funny story was I said I would help. And so I was mentoring somebody that was about 5 years older than I was. So it's kind of an odd, you know, odd deal to get into.
Yeah.
I think I have in our industry as it relates specifically, I think I have a couple people that I could go to at any point and ask questions and you know, life path, career path questions of.
Are they in your company or people outside that you've kind of crossed paths
with? Yeah, they're outside, and actually their account, you know, they're accounts of ours or relationships I've created over the years where we actually do business with people. So that's a little sticky, you know what I mean, to a certain degree, but because we've been together for so long, I've created a really good personal relationship with them as well, which to me, that's business. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I know we're working really, really well when we can actually set the two apart. But I think in my life personally, as it relates, I probably have two people, that I would consider mentors, and mentorship to me is somebody that I can go to and trust where they'll listen to what I'm saying. They know who I am from a fabric of an individual, family, faith, all that kind of stuff, and say, look, you know, you might want to consider this. You might want to consider this. And I trust based off of what I know them to be, that they have my best interest, my family's best interest in mind. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. But that is not a very frequent discussion with me, with those two individuals that I would consider mentors. It's probably, we have a conversation once every couple years. You know what I mean? That might be some of that kind of stuff. And that may just be me that doesn't go to the well very often, to get that guiding, you know, information. But, I think that's more or less what that looks like. Right. Whereas opposed to the other one, I think you're just trying to get some help. You know what I mean? Like in what path I'm supposed to go to. So if you take kind of like the concept of like the, what was it called in school? Like the guidance counselor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like here's your options. You know what I mean? And here's what you might want to consider. I think a lot of times people confuse those two. And it's like, it's like, no, you need to kind of generate your own path and find somebody that after, and I think the mentor will show itself because they usually end up taking that individual under guidance on their own. I think that relationship kind of comes to two. It's almost like you don't seek it out, in my opinion. It's almost like it comes to you based off of the experience that you're going through, right? Or kind of presents itself that way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what do you think?
I go back and forth as far as mentorship and sort of just on the job training, because like there's always been apprenticeship, particularly in our industry, when you're working under somebody and that's how you're learning, just following what they do, picking up through osmosis, you know, as much as you can learn. Now when we think about our current, or not current, but, you know, more recent history, particularly after 2008, when there was a huge, exodus of our industry of, Generation X, pretty much, and a little bit of boomers that just kind of fell off after that last crash. So there's this massive gap in our industry. And because of that gap, it puts a lot of pressure on the remaining X, Generation X, and remaining boomers. They're juggling a lot.
I agree.
So they have less time to answer your questions for those that are younger, Generation Y and now Z. So there's this loss of on the job training in some sense, because you're constantly just putting out fires and doing the best you can with very little input, very little being unable to really follow someone per se as closely as you would have in the past of like an apprenticeship. So now there's a lot of companies that are trying to introduce these forced mentorship programs. There's organizations doing mentorship programs, I think, to supplement that, because we're all naturally finding that we're not getting enough education on the job. And sort of the funny thing is, I talked to my wife about, like, in her industry, you see people finding a lot of their answers through Google, because the person above them doesn't have time to answer their questions. So it creates this weird thing. And that I definitely hit that wall where it was like, I felt comfortable with a lot of things that I was running into, and I was able to, you know, navigate myself through certain things. And then I would hit a point where I would have a question and my direct supervisor wouldn't have the time to answer it, or he'd get back to me like a week later or something like that. And in the meantime, I would have to try to Google something and figure out that gap. And I got to a point where I was like, if I'm just doing this basically by myself, I might as well do it by myself. And then I started my own practice.
I think there's two things I hear in that.
Yeah.
The first thing is whoever your manager was, or the person, you know, that you, however you look at that from that chain of command.
Yeah.
They suck. I mean, they suck. That's a disservice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think one of the hardest things, and I'll just speak of this from getting to work with a lot of different associates, are, you know, no matter what I or we have going on in that position, mm-hmm. like, your job is to help those individuals get better and better and better. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's the hardest thing, yeah. to be honest with you, because it does take a lot of time. But I'm also, I'll say it this way, I'm pretty hard on my team. Mm-hmm. And to the point where if they come to me, and you know how everybody says there's no stupid question. That's yeah. not true. There's a lot of stupid questions out there. And whoever came up with that's a moron, right? But ultimately, when they come in here, I challenge them. Uh-huh. And it's like, okay, have you thought about this? Did you do this? Did you do this? First time, right? Yeah. And the answers are yes, no, whatever the deal is, right? Okay, go figure it out. Mm-hmm. Second time they come back. Okay, did you do what we talked about last time? This or this? No? Okay, then get out. Mm-hmm. And so it's this learning process that you have to take each individual through. And some will have different ceilings. Don't get me wrong, right? That's the truth. But you have to spend the time to do that, because ultimately what that's going to do, and that individual that you're talking about probably doesn't realize, it will free up time mm-hmm. for us to do the other things that we need to. So now I'm at the point, especially with one particular associate, where I tell, it's a her. I tell her, I'm like, get out. Mm-hmm. You know how to do all this. I'm not going to do it. You're on your own at this point. Mm-hmm. You're going to make a mistake. Mm-hmm. We will own that together. It's fine, but you do not need to ask me any more questions. I've taught you this. I've watched you do it. We followed it through and whatever, because we've gone through and taken the time when we didn't have the time mm-hmm. to help that individual. So now ultimately, and she's doing a great job, I don't have to be involved anymore. Mm-hmm. And so now we can, you know, replicate and multiply and do all those types of things. So, but I wouldn't say I'm a mentor mm-hmm. in that situation either.
Yeah. Right.
So I think when you look at it from a business perspective or from a company perspective, that's just how a chain of command should work. Mm-hmm. That individual that's in that position should be one that's looking to invest and build associates. Mm-hmm. And if they can't do that, they're not the right person. I don't care what anybody says, mm-hmm. right? You need one CEO or whatever to make an ultimate decision and just say yes or no. Fine. Mm-hmm. I get that. That's okay. But the rest of the stuff, it needs to be some type of build. But outside of that, so take that situation that you're in, there should have been somebody that you went to when you're like, here's my situation. I feel like I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to. I'm not getting the response that I need. I'm on this type of deal. What do you suggest? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or I'm feeling I should go do this on my own because I'm doing it on my own anyways. And what's the difference? And blah, blah, blah. And that individual should know you well enough and have gone through situations in life where they say, look, you're an idiot. You need to figure out a different way. Or B, if that's really what you're doing and you're telling me the truth, then maybe, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? That's the mentor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's like kind of like the life coach, if you will, in that regard. Do you see the difference? So,
like, that, separate.
That's how I see it.
You're talking about separate from a chain of command in a company. It's a sort of a spirit guide or yeah. professional spirit guide.
Yeah, I think a little bit. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
And so the people that, like I said, I have friends in the industry, you know, that I've been working with for a long time, they can kind of give me guidance. But the individual that I was mentioning that I'll talk to every, you know, a couple times a year is completely outside of my industry. Hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, and I don't want to say life coach because they're not helping me with other kind of things, but it's like a trusted, like, life advisor.
Yeah.
Right. That generally is, he's 20 years older than I am or so. And I can go ask questions, and it's different than a parent mm-hmm. because there's bias there.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? So you need this, like, completely unbiased idea. And the interesting thing is, it's a give and take on both sides, because that individual actually, like, we as humans want to pour into people. Mm-hmm. It's actually an innate ability, like an innate thing, right? Mm-hmm. And that individual is willing to do that with me because he sees I'll go action it and I actually do things with it. And his time is not taken lightly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he likes pouring into somebody that he can then see succeed. Think of it like a coach and an athlete, yeah. right? Same idea. So I think a lot of people too want to go and just glean information.
Yeah.
And don't really do anything with it. And then come back to that individual later, like, oh, I'm stuck in the same spot. And you're like, well, how the hell are you stuck in the same spot?
Yeah.
You know, that's not how the conversation's going, but that's really what's happening.
Yeah.
So I would challenge a lot of younger people to say, are you really doing what you're supposed to do? Mm-hmm. And more times than not, I don't feel that that's the case. Mm-hmm. And that's completely a biased opinion. I will own that 100%.
Yeah. I think I think you bring up a good point that there is a clear difference between mentorship and on-the-job training. Mm-hmm. Because a mentor has no sort of, what's the word?
No skin in the game. No skin in the
game. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they have no, your success has nothing to do with their success in the company or that or threat to them in the company or anything. No connection whatsoever. They're correct. Completely outside and have a different perspective of, they know you as a person and they know what you're capable of and can give you insight on what your options are.
They can call you on your and you'll respect that too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's a respect both ways.
Yeah.
And however that was bred, mine was an ex-coach, mm-hmm. right? And I still call him coach. And I mean, and any athlete will understand if you ever had a coach, they're still coach. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter what the deal is. But and in business, you know, I'm sure I've outstrided him as far as, you know, monetary compensation goes, yeah. right? But it has nothing to do with it. Because when I was an individual and I was an athlete, he coaxed everything out of me that I had never seen before. And yeah. I responded well to him and he only had the best of intentions for me. And even still, so I can go back to him and literally it's like, hey coach, I need to buy lunch and can we have a conversation? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I try not to do that. I try to just take him to lunch once in a while anyway.
yeah.
But nonetheless, the answer is yeah, because he's genuinely interested because he's invested. You know what I mean? In that type of deal. And I hope to pay that back. You know what I mean? In whatever way I can. Mm-hmm. You know, when he's asked me to help with this or help with this, the answer is always yes. And it's not a personal thing for him. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's something else. So. I think people need to understand the difference because you have to realize most people are very short-minded in your professional life. They don't want to, there's very few people, like I'm trying to, my idea is to train myself out of my job. Mm-hmm. If everybody can do my job or the people I'm training can do my job, the company's better off.
Yeah.
And ultimately so will I be.
Yeah.
You understand? But most people are too short-sighted to really understand that. Mm-hmm. And they get more fearful, like you just mentioned, and kind of like, you know, especially if you're kind of a rock star,
yeah.
right? You're going to jump right by him. Mm-hmm. So I think the two have to be separate.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So I think maybe companies need to recalibrate as far as the perception of what they're trying to do. Because like I mentioned, all these companies are introducing these mentorship programs. But maybe that's not the case and it's not a mentorship program, but just more intentional training. And it doesn't have to be, you know, best buddies within the company, but, you know, just structured training to help bridge that gap that we're finding ourselves in.
And I think even like when you look at that, if you were to take it and put, you know, a senior and a junior on a project, let's say, right, as far as on the job training, guess what, junior, you're going to be saddled with a bunch of shit you probably don't want to do.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to suck it up. You're going to have to do it because you'll learn more. You'll get better. And ultimately, you may not get the credit right away because it shouldn't be about credit. The other guy will probably take it if he's that type of a small-minded individual.
Yeah.
But you'll surpass them later on. It becomes obvious. The guys that outwork and are smart and perform, you can't keep down.
Yeah.
Guys and gals, right? I'm just saying that in general. So you can't keep them down. So I think there's a little bit of an understanding. We used to call it hazing in sports, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to get hazed. Like you're going to in a professional life too, like there's going to be some stuff that's going to happen that you're not going to enjoy.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem fair. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Life isn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's one thing we have to keep in mind as well is you have to pay your dues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As you go through and you're not going to jump out of college making six figures right away. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. We've talked about that before. You're going to have to pay your dues. But then when you really can look at yourself in the mirror and say, I've done everything I can, then have that trusted individual outside that you can talk to. If you're really hitting, you know, I remember having a conversation with a gal friend of mine multiple times when she was going through this mm-hmm. and hitting a wall. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, well, have you tried this? Have you looked at this? Have you had this conversation? Have you exhausted all these things before you make the ultimate decision to say it's time to walk away? Mm-hmm. Because you can say that. It's not whether or not you're going to go get another job. I'm sure you'll land, but are you going to be okay not having this one? And are you ready for that yet or not?
Hmm. Interesting.
You know what I mean? And then, and it's not for me to tell her which is right or wrong. It's to ask those questions because I'm not there. She's the only one that knows it. And I can share my own experiences and tell you where things have worked for me and where things worked against me.
Yeah.
But then ultimately they need to make the right decision. So I really think it's a separate thing outside of that. And honestly, and you have to learn how to be a good mentor or mentee.
Yeah.
You have to learn how to be a good mentee before you can be, you know, a mentor in a lot of ways too. So, but it's, I think they're important. I really do.
Yeah. So I would say for our listeners, if you are, you know, looking for more guidance, maybe look at your company of, you know, stepping in a training capacity and find those outside mentors, because they will probably provide the best guidance for you professionally. So we'll wrap here for today. Good conversation, Jason. Thanks again, as always. Thank you to our listeners for listening. Oh, we have a podcast coming out on tomorrow, Wednesday. That one will be on retail. And then we will talk again here on Thursday. Thanks. This show is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at GableMedia.com. That's GABLMedia.com. You can help support what we're doing here by leaving a 5-star rating and a review on your preferred podcasting app. It helps others find us, and your support is the only way that this show grows. And don't forget to connect with us through our Facebook community, Instagram, and see the random thoughts and articles that we share on Twitter and LinkedIn. Thank you again for spending some time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk, and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.